We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, emergency podcast edition of College Sports Now. We've assembled all the ingredients. We don't do this very often. It's been a while. We've got Roddy Wainfelder, our serial killer of analysts here on College Sports Now. Roddy Jones, ACC Network, Michael Felder. I almost said Stadium TV. It's not. It's Bally.
Stadium.
Stadium and Bally. It's a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. And we got Wayne Cook of UCLA fame and fortune. Fellas, we got a lot to talk about. Oh, we also got our man Michael Serber hanging out. Serbs, how you living?
I'm fine. Thanks for screwing up me and Felder's intro.
I didn't screw up any intros. Felder's a busy man. He dabbles in a lot. We're going to talk about this conference expansion stuff. And the beauty of these shows when we all get together is it comes hot and heavy. I mean, we got a lot of crosstalk here. Nobody can see each other. It's going to be beautiful. I want to tease it by saying this. Half of us have been to media days. Half of us haven't. That's fine. That's not even the story, because last week it was all about conference expansion. It spilled over into this week. If you've been living under a rock, Oklahoma and Texas are gone. This isn't happening for 4 years. Maybe it happens in 2 years. I know you boys all have takes, so let's talk about it. And I want to start with you, Wayno, because you've been texting me during your summer vacation. You've been taking pictures of the lake like you're hanging out in Ozark or something. I can see the lake through the trees.
Yeah.
Talk to me about this, man, because you're coming from a Pac-12 perspective, yeah. And, you know, the dominoes are going to start to fall. So how are we feeling?
So this is – well, I don't know how I'm feeling. I'm a wreck, right? Because, like, it's fun. It's exciting. I mean, it's almost like they did this on purpose so we couldn't focus on name, image, and likeness that much. Like, we've moved on now. We'll worry about that later. There's so many changes, you guys. And I know Felder and Roddy, I mean, some of it's good, some of it's bad. Some of it's probably we just don't know, right? We don't know what to expect. Like, I love this idea of having college football that has this amazing tradition and that this is great, but we could still grow and change. But I don't know. I saw on the rundown, Stephen, where you put, did the SEC need to do this? Well, probably not, but they can, though. Right? They're like, well, we're powerful enough. Let's just go ahead and grab two other. Well, let's be honest, guys. Let's grab Oklahoma, who's an elite team. Okay? They've been one of those teams that makes the playoffs quite a bit. Texas is kind of one of those teams that I feel like is in the realm of a lot of other blue bloods that aren't anymore necessarily. And I'm not trying to insult Texas, but right? It's been a while. They're, you know, it's like Tennessee, Nebraska, you know, USC, some of these teams that are used to be always in the playoff hunt, but aren't anymore. And so, but still two huge names and a lot of money to be made. So I probably the happiest I've been all day was when I started hearing, like, if we're going to do this Super League stuff, the Big 12 and the Pac-12 somehow finding a way, because I just think those two conferences fit so well. But the problem is how do you trim some of the fat? Like, how do you decide? Like, because you could make out of what the Big 12 has and what the Pac-12 has, you could really make a really solid competitive, something that I think could compete if you really thought about it. Like, let's take elite, so the best 16 to 18 teams, and put them together in a super conference and see how they can compete against the SEC. And I actually think there's enough good teams there to do that. I really do. I think there's enough good teams to do that. But that's like a pipe dream. I feel like we're all going crazy right now. What if the SEC adds two teams and nobody does anything? Everybody's acting like, well, if the Big Ten doesn't do something, if the Pac-12 doesn't do something, if the ACC said, are the people that always watch those teams just going to stop watching them? I mean, I get it, but maybe we overreact to this. I don't know. We do that as a society a lot. But the way I'm thinking right now, it looks like everybody's thinking we've got to go to all these super conferences or, you know, college. It's like, say, doom and gloom. There's a lot of that out there right now.
I'm gonna hop in because I'm the person that's the least affiliated with anything. So I'm just an outside observer, right? Like, we know Roddy's with ACC Network. We know that you are with UCLA. I don't have any – we know that even Serber and Hartzell are SEC radio. I don't have anybody to answer to. So the things that stood out to me, one, the news timing. SEC Media Days used to be a humongous thing that people cared about. And then it wasn't. And – now what do we do? Now we drop this news right in the middle of SEC. This is like somebody. This is the equivalent of somebody in a party taking their pants down and taking a dump on the floor, with the idea of like, this is the thing we're all going to talk about. And I think that's an interesting element of it. I think that the part that you're mentioning, Wayne, with respect to how do you fix this, or how, or is it an overreaction? I think that I'm on the opposite side of you. I'm not excited about this. I'm looking at it. And maybe this is me being in like this weird middle space where, from a career standpoint, I started my career in this industry during the last major round of conference realignment. Mm-hmm. And it's not that I'm jaded. It's more that I'm realistic. And so what I look at is not what rivalries could we get, or what teams could we pair together, or how this can work. I'm looking at it from a DMA standpoint. And I'm looking at it from who can make you make more money standpoint. And that's the thing that I look at. And I also look at it from, and this is something that I think a lot of Big 12 fans don't like to hear, but I do look at it from an academic standpoint. And I look at it because Nebraska loaded up their research and their R&D and all that stuff to try to get into the Big 10, starting in 2009, I believe, leading up into getting into the Big 10, obviously, in 2011, 2012. They loaded up that research to try to do that, and then obviously they were pushed out of the AAU, and that's a whole other thing. And the Pac-12 maybe not be as beholden to the AAU, and yada, yada, yada. I look at the ACC and West Virginia as a specific team, and the thing that I look for when I look at this, it's not winners and losers. It's up or down, up or down, up or down, up or down. I don't know. And we'll get to this when we talk about Texas and Oklahoma. I don't know that they're going to go up by going to the SEC, because what they're going to do is open. Yeah. They're going to open a gateway into their own state. And by the state, I mean Texas. I don't mean Oklahoma. Nobody cares about Oklahoma. But they're going to open up a gate that's going to allow those teams to not just play A&M in Texas every other year. Now they get to go to Texas twice a year. Three times a year, maybe sometimes. That's not what you want, homie. That's not good for you. And then I think about it from an ACC and a Big Ten standpoint. I think the ACC and Big Ten are a lot more similar than a lot of people realize. And I think the Pac-12 kind of fits into that same group as well. And they are very proud of their academics, and they are very proud of their status in that realm. So I think that school – and I think they're also very proud of their social stances. So, which means that I think a school like Baylor or a school like, obviously, West Virginia, they're clutching. And I don't want to take all the time here or suck all the air out of the room, so I'm going to let Roddy talk. I'm going to stop. But I got other stuff to say. But, like, I think this is an interesting conversation.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating. And the beauty of going third is I get to respond to stuff that you guys say and then issue my own two cents. So first off, Felder, I think your academics point is excellent. The reason that West Virginia is not in the ACC already is because of academics. And recently, under Gordon Gee, they've become a Tier 1 research institute. They're not in the AAU, as you mentioned. But the ACC also took Louisville. So, like, you can come to me with academics, and I'll be like, we've kind of already sailed that ship with Louisville. Like, no offense to you. No, you know what? Whatever. Offense to Louisville. Don't care. But Louisville was sort of the one that you're like, okay, like, we're academics unless you play great basketball and pretty good football, and then we'll bring you in. I think, look, the reason that we are going to have realignment throughout, like, this is going to cause the ACC to make moves. This is the end of the Big 12. And this is likely the end of the Pac-12 as we know it. Like, if those two conferences merge, whatever. But like, Wayne, I hate to break it to you, the pipe dream is a combination of those two conferences competing with the SEC. It's not going to happen. You're taking the only team that's even close to competing with the top of the SEC, and you are removing it. And then you're having the also-rans go to a different conference, no offense, with also-rans, and having them try and compete with the SEC. The bulk of the talent in this country lies in Texas and the Southeast, and that is not going to change. Alabama and Clemson, let me take Clemson out of it, but Alabama and the SEC are still going to be able to go out to California and pick the best quarterbacks, because that's all they really want, and receivers. Like, they'll go out, they'll pick their bunch, they'll come back east, and they'll be fine. And merging 12, acquiring TCU, Iowa State is not going to change that. The reason that this is going to have to happen, though, is because of the money. The money that Penn makes right now is astronomically more than the Big 12, ACC, or Pac-12. The SEC is going to be in that range once they get these two, and the Big 10 is going to renegotiate their contracts in 2023. That's going to put them probably $20 million per school more than everybody else. Like, you are now playing two different games. Even Clemson, you are now playing two different games in terms of budgets, from a recruiting standpoint, from a staffing standpoint, from a facility standpoint. It is ridiculous how much different it's going to be in terms of distribution of rights. And so schools like Florida State is a historical power in the ACC through Bobby Bowden's era that's fallen on tough times. Yeah, short history, but like, that is not a school that has the revenue streams that a Clemson does. So, like, Florida State has no chance of competing. Like, if your chance of competing is, we're Florida State, and, you know, we've got the tradition, and we're in the backyard of recruits don't care anymore. It's going to be about who can get me to the league and who can get me the most money in college. And if your school can't do that, you're done. So, my last point, it was something that you said, Felder, on timing. And I actually think the timing was terrible for the SEC and terrible for Greg Sankey. I think Texas A&M got word of this and was like, no, we got to blow this thing up. Release it now. Because the only thing that can stop this is everybody getting together and saying, you know what, 12-team playoff, let's not do that. Let's go to 8. Because then access is so restricted that it makes Oklahoma and Texas think twice. Oklahoma in particular, think twice about it. Because if you go to 12 teams and you've got the if you stay at 12 teams, there is no way you're stopping this. Because from a money standpoint, it makes too much sense. From a prestige standpoint, playing in a league that matters, you can lose 3 games and still make the playoff. It doesn't make sense. But if you go to 8, then maybe you can stop it. And that's why I think somebody from Texas A&M was like, get this out there. We can sabotage this another way.
The only thing I was going to say is, like, I want to hear Wayne's response, but I have a thing about this 12-team playoff because – it's like, Wayne, go ahead. Or Hartzell, steer the ship.
You're okay, Felder. Go ahead. Steven knows. He's already left the room, and he's getting a cocktail. He knows that once we start talking, it's all over. I will respond, but we don't have to go in order, you guys. But here's what's crazy. It really struggled. And, Roddy, you're so intellectual when you talk, and you really sound so good. And even when you say something that I totally disagree with, I'm still impressed with how you present it. So here's the deal. The fact that I can't handle this idea that we're going to live in a world where Florida State can't be good again and can't be elite just because of money. Schools that there's always been, I've seen it out here on the West Coast with Utah, that gets three-star recruits and doesn't have the money that some of the other programs have, and yet they're right there with the USCs of the world that have a lot more resources. It can happen. And if you win, I've always believed this, if you win, I truly believe that winning just a couple of years, you have that really great class of maybe not all the five-star recruits. We all know that Ohio State and Clemson, we can look at the numbers. The number of five-star recruits that go to three or four schools, Roddy, as you're pointing out, is true. And it's really hard to compete with that. It really is. But I truly believe that the Miamis of the world can be good again. The Florida States of the world, the USCs of the world, the Texases of the world, even the UCLA My Schools of the world. These schools can find a way because they're still spending enough money. They still have good enough facilities to compete. Before this all happened, I thought the 12-team playoff, and this is, I think, where Felder was going to go and start talking about, I actually thought that it was going to take time. And I was more of an 8-team guy too, but when I started thinking about the 12-team, it didn't bother me that much. I was one of those guys that started thinking, because everybody just wants the same teams, it seems like, to win over and over and over again. And as Roddy was kind of saying, that's kind of what was happening. And there was, it seemed like there wasn't a whole lot we could do to stop it. And the idea here is that when you spread it out, you have more teams, and I think it might take 3, 4, 5, 6 years that are going to start making playoff games, maybe winning a play. They may not win the national championship, but they're getting more airtime. They're getting more TV run. They're getting more. They're getting a lot more attention. So a school like Oregon and SC from the Pac-12, let's say, or Utah or UCLA or whoever, Stanford, if they get back to where they were playing at, starts getting more run than maybe some of those California kids, which, by the way, we do more than have quarterbacks out here. Yeah, Paige, there's a lot of good athletes coming out of California. You're kidding yourself if you don't think so. So the idea that some of those kids wouldn't stay, I think you're crazy. I promise you that when I was recruited to UCLA and Troy Aikman was playing, it made it really easy to want to go there. If you get that and you're winning 10, 11, 12 games, having a chance at a playoff, kids are crazy. They grow up and they're like, I love that. I remember when I was young, every kid out here wanted to go to Oregon. They loved Oregon. And then it was SC. Now it's Alabama and Clemson. I get it. But to act like I've been around longer than I think I'm the oldest one on the show, things do change, you guys. It looked like Florida State was never going to have a bad team for a long time. Those Bobby Bowden years were amazing. So it can't. I'm worried that what they're doing right now is going to make it to where it's even harder to change, because now they're going to create this super conference. And as we're pointing out, it's going to be really hard for anybody to form something that can compete with that.
Well, I think here's my thought. So with respect to the 12-team playoff, we were, what, 2, 3 weeks ago? Everyone was all up in there. Yeah. Everyone was so hype about, oh my gosh, there's going to be more access, and there's so much more access. And now with the 12-team playoff, it's going to give chance to the little guy, and it's going to give exposure to this, and it's going to stabilize recruiting. And now what we're looking at, realistically, is what? Either 4 super conferences or 3 super conferences. And each one of those conferences is going to get 3 or 4 teams in, maybe 5 in a good year, which means it's going to be the same. And it's not changing. The sport is the sport, and I wish that more people would realize that the sport is the sport. That's the reality of the situation. But the other part, and to your point, Wayne, yes, I know they've got really good players in California. I obviously, Kayvon Thibodeau is one of those guys. You throw in any of these guys that play along that defensive front, Justin Flo, who I really like, who's at Oregon right now, and all these other guys, like, those guys can play. It is, I think there's a whole other different conversation to be had about how guys are covered from a high school football standpoint. And I think that's a big other question, but that's not what we're talking about right now. What we're talking about right now is, like, where are Alabama and Clemson's quarterbacks coming from? They came from California. Why are they going to Alabama and Clemson? Because the USC, UCLA, Washington State, they haven't produced for the NFL the way that these other teams have. And that's an important hallmark for teams. And to go back to my point, with Florida State, with USC, with UCLA, with these other schools, and we're seeing Oregon start to try to bubble back up to the top with Mario Cristobal. But who you hire, Texas also, who's on the list, is trying to go to the SEC. Who you hire as a coach is just as important as what conference you're in, because if you hire a dummy, you're not going to get better. you're not, if you hire someone that doesn't want to work in recruiting, you will not get better. And I think that this idea of shuffling all the pieces on the board, or to take it back to the thing that matters to me a lot, right? It doesn't matter if your ingredients suck. It doesn't matter the way that you put your ingredients into the pot. Your dish still isn't going to be good. So you have to work with better ingredients. And the ingredients aren't always just the players. The ingredients are also the coaches. And athletic directors, conferences, none of them have a say on the coaches. The ACC went through this. And Roddy, you played in this, right, with Chan Gailey. And yeah. I was there with John Bunting. And we were there with Chuck Amato, right? And those guys they couldn't get over the hump. And then we saw this flip in the league where we brought in Paul Johnson, who really made people really made people think and worry about stuff. And then you bring in Fedora for a little while, who had a pop. And then you bring in these guys that can bubble to the surface a little bit. Jimbo Fisher obviously won a national championship, but the brain drain, I think, is important. And the lack of it's hard to be a college, like at the end of the day, it's hard to be a college football coach. I mean, think about it. Everybody thought Jim Harbaugh was going to be a home run at Michigan, and look at him now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm gonna get in here real quick.
I want to talk about the coach. I promise I'll make it quick. I want to talk about the coaches because Felder, you make a great point about coaches and hiring well. Here's what an SEC Super League does. It makes Missouri a job that is as attractive potentially as Oregon. That's what it does. Because like you can say all you want listen to me. You can tell me all you want about how Oregon is a better job. Okay. Washington.
Okay.
USC.
That's fine. UCLA. I can live with that. I'll live with that. But Oregon with Phil Knight is not the same. You can't do that.
I've talked to Rob Mullins about this. Like Phil Knight just doesn't open up the checkbook for anything. But here's the thing. How much is Mario Cristobal getting paid at Oregon? I don't know. So I'm legitimately asking. Because Missouri's about to be able to pay a coach $10 million a year. Legit.
Isn't this making anybody else sick, though? Come on. We're losing college football.
Missouri is about to be able to pay somebody $10 million. So let's say this goes through and the SEC is able to go back to ESPN and say, hey, look, that thing that we just renegotiated, you're going to pay us $300 million a year for our primetime game. One game a week, you were going to pay us $300 million a year. By the way, we have Oklahoma, Texas, and that's not part of it. That's worth $500 million a year. Easy. So now Missouri is getting 50-something million dollars a year from TV distribution, not to mention the fact that when Texas shows up or when Oklahoma shows up or when Alabama shows up, they get massive gates. And now Missouri is able to pay somebody what Dabo Swinney gets paid. Like that makes a coach think, because 5 years ago coach in the Pac-12, I don't care who it is, versus $10 million. That's something that anybody.
So at the end of the day, though, I mean,
think about
Missouri, but it's all about money.
It's a
money,
TV
but
show.
But you
this
guys,
is a television show.
I can't get over the fact that I swear I've always thought that money was a byproduct of success. So if
it's
everybody
not.
In the SEC, yeah, I get that. But the idea is this: if you're a coach that's worth anything and you're as good enough to get a vaunted SEC job, don't you want to win? You can get paid all that money and still end up with a 500 record because you still got to go up against Florida and Georgia and Alabama,
Wayne,
and now
coaches
Oklahoma.
Coaches jump to the NFL all the time.
No, I know they do, and they suck
thing.
It up, and then they return
because they want to try and win again. And now
but,
the SEC is just the NFL in college.
But here's I get what you're saying, but that just kills me. Doesn't that make you guys sick?
No, I'm frustrated too. I don't like it at all. A guy, Mark Ennis, who works in Louisville, he made a really good point. He was like, how come Vandy doesn't catch any heat or talk about being kicked out? Because Vandy, you know what Vandy does? They shut their mouth and they take their money.
Yes, they do.
They shut their mouth and they take their money. Nobody's
got to have a win somewhere on that schedule.
Yeah. But the thing for me, and yes, it is frustrating. And I think that success should be the most important part of it. The problem is I think that control, there are two things to me. I think one is the reality that nobody cares about the football. Okay? Like as football guys, and Roddy, you and I spent 25 minutes talking only about inside zone.
Yeah.
People don't care about
the 25 minutes.
It's fantastic. And it listen, by the way, that show drops August 12th. Check it out. Tape Don't Lie, the podcast. That's a plug. But the reality of it is that these people only care about bragging rights, the playoff, and the poll when it comes out in October or November. They don't care about what happens between the chalk. And the other part of it is, folks, all they, like, I don't know when this started, but the reality of rooting for your league has completely, and I'll go Scarface here, the sport is so polluted.
Wow.
Like, people.
I give the reference a 10. The impression was like, I mean, that was, what are we going, guys? Classic. 5 at best?
Classic Felder reference. Classic.
Where are we going in the impression?
Like a 4.
I'm giving it a 5.
Yeah. But you knew what I was talking about.
Oh, yeah. I knew what you were talking about.
But folks are so invested in a thing that doesn't care about them, a thing that doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, with the exception of wielding the power structure. Like, the consolidation of power in college football, ultimately, like, we're looking at, there are what, 65, 66 Power 5 teams right now? And what we're going to end up with is, what are we going to call it, 60? We'll see what happens with Kansas, right? Does anybody want that basketball team?
The Big East?
Yeah, somebody takes it, yeah.
Okay.
Sure. But then where do they play football?
Exactly.
Shut it down.
So we're going to end up with, they're going to chop more teams off at the knees. And going back to the point I started this with, I don't care what conference you play in. Mountain West, old Big East, the AAC now, the ACC, Big 12, Sun Belt, whatever. I love football and I like to watch football. And the stuff that we talked about, Roddy, when we talked about the inside zone, that's applicable to high school, to every college team, to all these teams. But that's not what people watch this game for. They watch this game for the conjecture, for the Tuesday night or Thursday night show, or they watch it for this. And that's the problem, where you see a combination of fans being steered into only caring about a small part of it. And I think that, to carry your point, Wayne, is the scariest part, because every Saturday used to matter. And then I also see the people at the top, the power brokers, slowly twisting the wheel, because they give you a little piece of bread. Like, if you're a duckling, they give you a piece of bread. You're excited about it. But they're just leading you to the fox that's going to take you down. You give them a 12-team playoff. You get excited about that. Oh, more teams are going to be in. And then all of a sudden, by the way, we have this other big news. Guess what? We got a couple more foxes.
And by the way, what's the common denominator in both the playoff and conference expansion?
Greg Sankey.
It's ESPN. The common denominator here, fellas, is the worldwide leader steering these conversations. I'm not a conspiracy theorist guy. But, Roddy, one thing you did say about the timing of this whole thing, it's not a coincidence that this happened on Wednesday when Jimbo Fisher's literally in the big room with his opening statement.
And Texas A&M's athletic director just so happens to strut out of the elevator like a wrestling heel as soon as it's announced. He's like, where's a microphone?
Well, again, reports
were... He looked like LeVar Ball.
Yeah.
He did.
Reports were that the SEC had been in discussion with Oklahoma and Texas for 6 months. So not only did you have all that stuff going on behind the scenes, you had Texas and Oklahoma going to media days. You had those coaches. You had those athletic directors hanging out in Jerry's World talking about all this. One thing I will say, just to keep it moving, I do think I will swoop in here and defend my guy Wayne. I think the Pac-12 is actually in better shape, significantly better shape than the Big 12. If for no other reason than just sheer numbers,
bro. That's like saying that I'm healthier than someone that's on a ventilator. Like, yeah, bro, what are you doing there?
My health problem.
Right.
My point being, bro, what are you doing?
Pac-12 is going to survive this. Pac-12 is going to come out on the other end. They're going to take their pick. Big 10 might take one or two. ACC might take one. And then the American can get the rest, but the Power 5 becomes a Power 4, maybe a Power 3.
No. Here's the thing.
I think we're living in a world of a Power 3 at the end of the day.
We're living in a Power 2.
it's the Big Ten and it's the SEC and everyone else.
Sure.
Like the ACC and whatever's left of the Big 12, whatever's left of the Pac-12, they will all still have autonomy status. But the Big Ten and the SEC are going to be playing a different game by 2025.
Financially, yes. I'd take Clemson over anybody in the Big Ten for the next 10
right,
years.
But what I'm saying is,
wait,
I think
you're telling me
you'd
take Clemson over Ohio State for the next 10 years when Ohio State is about to make a probably $25 to $30 million more a year?
No. Ohio State's the only one. Oh, that's the only one. But everybody else in the Big Ten, you can't just say, okay, because you're getting $30 million more than Wake Forest or Virginia, that everybody in that conference is going to be better.
You guys, there's only so much talent, you guys. No matter how much money's being thrown around, there's only so much talent. All kids want to play. Not everybody's going to go to the same school just because, I mean, if you're not going to play, you're not going to the NFL. You have to get in the lineup and get on the field. And the other thing, and this is what irritates me when I sit back and I listen to my conference getting thrashed. You guys, other than Clemson, Ohio State, you know, Georgia, Alabama, a lot of these second and third place teams in those other conferences, they wouldn't just stroll into the Pac-12 and play a 9-game conference schedule and win it. I know people think that. Oh, Florida would just come in and dominate.
No, they wouldn't. I agree.
No, they wouldn't. They would struggle on the road against Oregon State and nasty weather and Washington State. And I know you're thinking, why'd you pick those schools? Because those are always hard games. You see it in the Big Ten. You see it in the Pac-12 that when you play these 9-game conference schedules, they're hard to get through. And I think right now it's like people always throw out Michigan. Michigan – Jim Harbaugh, yeah, he hasn't lived up to expectations. But yeah, because he's sitting there staring at Ohio State, that's one of those schools that brings in a million five-star and everybody else is four-star. And Michigan wins 9 or 10 games a year, and we act like they suck. We've reached this world where unless you're Alabama and Clemson and the teams that win every game they play, that everybody else stinks, which is what's so wrong with college football right now. You win 8, 9 games, and it used to be you got to go to a good bowl game. You got to celebrate, and it was a good year because you were in it all season long. I disagree, by the way, with, and I think you were going down this road, Felder, with every week the games wouldn't matter if you had a 12-team playoff. Yes, they would, because way more teams would still be in the opportunity to get to the playoffs. Normally, we just write them off because they lost a game. Remember a couple years ago when Oregon lost to Auburn, barely? Everybody wrote off not just Oregon. They wrote off the whole Pac-12 because of one loss at the very end of a game. That's stupid. If we expanded the playoffs, more teams would be in it for way longer. We'd be going into the last week of the year, and there would be several fan bases paying attention to these football games because their team could have a chance. Wild card teams win Super Bowls sometimes in the NFL, you guys. I know it probably wouldn't happen in college because it's a little bit different animal, but it could. It could.
No, Wayne, I think you're misconstruing my point. My point was I don't think people like football.
Oh, yeah. They
just care about who's in the discussion.
The soap opera. Yeah, soap opera for males.
That's my point about it, is people don't, like, they don't care that Iowa State and Jim Heacock, they run this amazing defense, and it's insane the way that they're able to get 3-over-2 and 4-over-3 all the time. They don't care about that, and they're not interested in learning about it. They just
care. It's like what fantasy football has done to the NFL. People root for players, not for teams.
Yeah, and it sucks, and I hate it. Because the thing I like about football is the football. And so, I think, I agree with you. I think that, yes, there will be more teams involved. And I think that, personally, for me, that's an artificial inflation and an artificial look at why people would care about watching games later in the season when you should care about the game because it's your team. I've been talking to people from NC State who they're never going to make it to the playoff. But the reality of it is they're like, hey, you know what I realize? I just like to watch my team play. And I'm sure there's a bunch of fans all over the country that feel the same way. But as you rev up and amp up and create this whole deal and then kick people out and move it around and build, like, the football means less, and just it's the same as and you guys, and I'm sure Roddy, I'm sure Wayne, Hartzell, Serber, you guys recognize this, and people dealing with people in media, they don't watch these games. They don't watch the games. They look at the box score. They look at the final score. And then they're done. This team's good or this team's bad. They can't name you any other player than the quarterback. People do not like football.
Well said.
It's, yeah, I think. Go ahead, Ronnie. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Wayne. I think you have you didn't misconstrue what I'm insinuating. I won't claim that, but what I do think I want to make clear is that yes, are there good teams in the Pac-12? Yes, has the Pac-12 gone through a little bit of a lull in terms
brain
of
drain.
In terms
brain
of
drain.
Achieving?
No,
yes,
I agree with that.
The thing that this does. From an overall standpoint, and this is true for my conference outside of Clemson as well, is it changes the totem pole. Like Oregon and USC are clearly above a lot of teams across the country, but when the revenue gap gets to be that big, coaches are not going to stay. It changes the pecking. Like now a Tennessee can go and get the best coach from the Pac-12. Why? Because they can pay $5 million more a year. Oh, and by the way, we're not just going to pay the head coach $5 million more. We're going to give the entire staff $5 million more. And while that's not life-changing money for a coach to go from $4 to $9 million, it is life-changing money for a coordinator to go from 300,000 to $1 million. 300,000 to 800,000.
That's Bielema to Arkansas, right?
Yeah. Or Harsin to Auburn. I mean, same deal. He brought his guys. Everybody got a huge pay raise. Well, one thing I will say, Roddy, you realize how many first-rounders the Big 12 put out in the NFL draft this past year, right? Zero. It was zero.
Okay.
Now, that's a convenient stat, but my larger point here is I don't blame Texas
rough
and Oklahoma.
Year.
Sure. It's an isolated, like, again, it's an unfair stat, but it's a stat. I don't blame Oklahoma and Texas for bailing. The Big 12 has failed those two in terms of football. Like I agree
yeah, Oklahoma,
with Wayne's.
Oklahoma has carried a mediocre conference for a long time.
Look, I agree.
But
how Wayne's,
did they fail them? I do have a question, Hartzell. How did they fail them?
Nobody else in that conference can give those guys a run. Now, look, it's largely Oklahoma, but in the off years where Oklahoma hasn't won it, Texas has been there. And yes, there was a significant chunk of time where there wasn't enough teams in the Big 12 for a conference championship game. But you still got to go back to 2003 to find a team other than Texas or Oklahoma who's won the championship. And yes,
I want to chime in on the fail one.
What, with TCU? What are we talking about?
And Baylor.
Okay, great. Like TCU,
they got jumped by an Ohio State team that basically that blew out Wisconsin and they were a better moneymaker, so they get to go to the playoff when TCU and Baylor were there.
Look, TCU and Baylor is going to get upset when they hear this. Flash in the pan. Like, yeah. That's it.
Well, that's
like,
the difference between a school that has
TCU's
the research.
TCU's been a nice right. school, and they've owned Texas in state. 7 out
Wasn't
of 10.
Wasn't Baylor just in the Big 12 like championship game?
Yeah, with Matt Rhule. Sure, flash in the pan. Like, there will be these
teams.
Well,
I think that's more of an indictment on the conference than it is a testament to Baylor, personally. But here, so with the – this goes to the Michigan thing. It goes to how we judge teams. And Wayne, you mentioned this earlier. Like, it doesn't matter what the era is. Michigan being 10-2 or whatever, 9-3, it would be looked at as a disappointment because Michigan doesn't play to go 9-3. They play to win the conference. And unfortunately for them, they can't win the one that would allow them to win the conference. So, it doesn't matter. The college football play. Playoff era, BCS, whatever. Like, they would not have gone to a Rose Bowl unless Ohio State was in the BCS National Championship. And going to the playoff, they can't even dream of because they can't beat Ohio State. It's the same thing with all these other teams. That's the reason that we look
throw
at the
Penn
SEC.
Too.
Penn State, too. Yeah, well, we haven't beat up on Penn State. Let's throw them in there. They might as well join the ACC. But they won't because of money, even though it makes more sense.
Most teams can't win in the SEC either.
No, you're absolutely correct.
They really have a legitimate chance.
But if I'm not going to win the conference, at least I can get paid.
Right. So I have more faith in humanity, though, a little bit. I like the Matt Campbells of the world, or the David Shaws of the world, I spent the weekend hanging out with Brent Brennan at San Jose State, who re-signed with them and who's a kind of up-and-coming coach. Like, I love it when guys kind of have that loyalty to their schools. Like, the money's enough. I don't believe, and I will never believe that, you know, making $5 million versus $10 million. I know I sound naive right now. I know some people are like, Cook, you're crazy. There are people out there. There's a Northwestern. Why am I forgetting his name right now? Pat Fitzgerald. Yeah. There's guys out there that could get more. There's guys that we've seen guys walk away from coaching jobs when they could have gotten more. And they just, I mean, shoot, look what happened with Chris Peterson at Washington, right? I mean, he was just done. I'm like, I don't need the money anymore. I'm walking away. So, yes, money is a huge factor. We're going to see that from players. I mean, shoot, how brilliant was it? Whether or not Bryce Young's made $1 million already or not, it was pretty smart to throw that one out there because every quarterback in America is going, I don't even have to play. I don't even have to be good yet, and I can just go and make that much money. I mean, that's a whole other element that's going to play in this too. And it's like, I feel like we're going to be in a bidding war. And when you start throwing around the money that could be made in the SEC, now there's so much more money available for – and we don't even have rules yet for that. You know what I mean? It's like, it's kind of crazy what's happening because the NCAA is like in hibernation right now. So there's a lot going on. I don't necessarily disagree or agree, but I do have this sense at some point in time that – there's actually people out there that are good people that aren't just money hungry. It doesn't mean that money's always bad, but I was joking around with people the other day before this, you know, Texas Oklahoma news. I said, you know, someone said, what's the big deal? NIL is so good. I'm like, yeah, when has money ever caused problems before? Like, when has this ever been a problem? Like, you guys are naive if you don't think that that's going to end up causing problems across college football. And we're seeing it right now with realignment. The money issue is the main issue. And instead of, you know, we have 130, you know, Division I teams across the country, I'm kind of scared to, like, look into the crystal ball and look down the road and see, like, how many of these teams are going to be able to stay afloat.
Yeah, well, the issue is, like, this is – it's one giant game theory experiment. Like, you are trusting in everyone else not to make a move, but the truth of it is with 130 schools, really 65. Let's go with 65 schools that really matter. Like, someone is going to make a move, and now you have schools in the Big 12 and the Pac-12 to a lesser extent, but schools around the country looking around like, okay, I trust you until you give me reason not to, or I get a better offer. And they're all looking at it. Like, the entire Big 12's eyes are going to be on West Virginia. Like, everyone is staring squarely at West Virginia because West Virginia has unabashedly been begging to go to the ACC. But, like, this whole thing of, all right, eight of us are going to stick together. Like, a merger with the Pac-12 in anyway appeals zero to West Virginia. They are calling the ACC nonstop right now.
But and the Pac-12 West Virginia, also is not interested in Baylor.
Right. But the Pac-12 is interested in that pack of eight. Like, right. I would guess. And maybe they're not interested in everybody. Maybe you have some that they're like, eh, Kansas, we could leave them. But I would guess that the package of – there's no one school left in the Big 12 that the Pac-12 is like, yep, got to have them. The strength is now in numbers, and you have to keep those numbers together, I would guess, or the strength goes down the drain. And if West Virginia is the first one to bail, then that sets off a domino effect where, like, everybody's going to be like, man, we got to get out of here before we're the last one standing.
Have you guys thought about who plays who now with the SEC having so many people and if we have these super conferences? And I didn't mean to jump in here, but, like, I'm listening and I'm like, think about the schedules. Like, we already complain about the 14-team schedules because a lot of times they set up these schedules to where the power of one division does not play the powers of the other division, like, more than once every 4 years. And it absolutely sucks. I loved the way the Big 12 did it because at the end of the year you took the top two teams. And so now we're going to add more teams to these conferences. And now you're going to have a bunch of teams not playing each other. And to be quite honest with you, if they do divisions, we're still going to end up with issues of, did we really take the two best teams? I mean, it doesn't solve some of the big problems. Like, when we start thinking about money only, and there's so many other things to figure out. And you started off the show this way. I don't know if it was Felder or Roddy, but, like, you guys started off the show by talking about, I love Oklahoma and what they've done. But Oklahoma is a team that is going to have to battle to beat. Now, this year may be a different case because it's a good Oklahoma team. But they're going to have to battle their butts off with the LSUs and the Auburns and the Georgias and the Alabamas. Yeah. I mean, those are not and Texas isn't where Oklahoma is yet. So they're going to be right in the middle of that. You know, Oklahoma's better. But my point is that we don't even know how many of those schools are going to play each other because there's freaking 16 teams in the conference. So to me – unless I don't, there's got to be other changes that go along with these super conferences if that's where we're going.
Yeah, I think, I mean, at the end of the day, I think what we're looking at is you play your whole entire division and then one guy, you have one travel back from the other one and then you go to the championship and we'll see what happens. But it's not going to be ideal and it's not going to be one of those situations where that's why when I was talking about this, I referenced the idea that you're opening the gate. You're going to open the gate to Texas for Auburn, for LSU, for Arkansas, for Alabama. You're going to open the gate wide open for them because they're going to get to go there twice a year. And because you, there's no other way to manage it with the other side of the league. And they might have to push someone to the other side of the league. And I don't know who, what team that is. It might be all, it might end up being Auburn, and Auburn's going to get screwed. But
hey, hey, Felder, do you think though, like when you're talking about open the gate, you're talking about recruiting, right?
Yeah.
Like so do you think that like in the old days, I think that that mattered more, but Hartzell mentioned ESPN earlier.
Yeah.
ESPN recruits for I mean, all I ever hear about. I mean, I was watching the one of the, you know, college football, whatever it's called, with the guys on ESPN like this afternoon. I mean, they just slobber all over the elite team so much that they're recruiting for them. I mean, it's almost, and they almost like chuckle and laugh at the others. And when I say the others, I'm talking about like, you know, somewhere less than 10 teams, and everybody else just sucks in their eyes. Do you think that, I mean, kids are constantly just bombarded with certain teams over and over and over again. So whether or not you play in Texas or California, it's not like, you know, Alabama spent a lot of time in California and yet they still got a quarterback from here. You know what I mean? It's like recruiting seems to be easier for these teams now with camps, with the way they're, you know, able to travel, with the coverage on TV, with, I mean, there's so much going on with that, that if you play a game there, that's great, but I don't even think they need to. I think the TV's doing it for them.
I think there's a combination answer there, right? Like, it's a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. I think,
sure,
yes, being on TV, like, TV has changed recruiting in general. Like, there were kids that didn't even know that Oregon was a state.
Yeah.
That were playing in Florida in the 70s, 80s, early 90s. And now all of a sudden they're like, oh, I love these uniforms. I want to go play football there. So there's that. And then there's the other part of it is that FaceTime. And you guys, we all know this, right? That FaceTime is important. Being able to put in FaceTime with a kid is important. It matters. It shows you care. When you show up and a kid is running back a punt or doing, you know, throwing a touchdown or makes a sack or whatever it is, and he can look up and you do the little wave as a coach of like, yep, I'm here, and you've got your gear on and they know you're there and everybody in the school knows that you're there, that still does matter. I think that still does carry weight. I also think that the value of, I think the NFL value has increased, while the it's this school value maybe has decreased, because everybody knows who everybody is now. And so unless you're a school that wins national championships, the value seems to have decreased in a coach showing up, and increased in the idea of a coach that can say, I can get you to the NFL because I did it for this guy, this guy, and this guy. If that, does that make any sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm not disagreeing. Yeah. I just think it's interesting because, like I pointed out earlier, that, you know, not all the great players can go to the same teams because there's
no,
just,
they can't.
There's too many great players. So I think there always is going to be a chance. I worry about, we talk about the 2% that are going to the NFL, and we forget about the 98% of kids.
That's who I care about.
That's who I am. Their last days. I know. Well, trust me, I think we all kind of are. I mean, I have my cups of coffee, but the idea is that, you know, those elite players are amazing, and they're great, and, you know, and I always laugh that those are the ones that are going to get paid early, and those were the ones that were going to get paid anyway. You know what I mean? They were going to get their money at some point.
They're already getting paid.
We don't always say that out loud, guys. We know that, but we don't have to tell everybody. But, I mean, it's crazy, Roddy, because I just don't know. I think that's what is crazy. Is like, I've always felt like I had a grasp on college football. I always have answers. There's so much that's happened this year. I feel like it. We're all smart guys. Like, everybody here except for maybe, you know, Hartzell sometimes. But most of us but it's hard because there's so much unknown. There's so much unknown.
Yep.
Yeah. And like, no matter how it goes, conferences like the ACC, conferences like the Pac-12 in particular, with major media markets in it, really saturated talent bases in your footprint, have more avenues to fight this than anything. You're just not going to be able to do it conventionally, because now you have an opportunity where anybody can transfer once and not have to sit out. So if 5 5 stars go to Alabama, which they very well might, all of them want to play, as you said, Wayne. And look, the truth of the matter is, at Alabama, if you don't play year one, year two, they're going to have another 5. So it's probably better than you that's going to come in, and you're never going to play. So you transfer.
Yep.
So there's going to be an inefficiency in the market in terms of who gets those transfers. And if someone like a USC or an Oregon all of a sudden says, hey, we'll take Alabama's castoffs and we'll coach them up and we'll develop a team out of that, then you can obviously you can build it a different way. Not saying that they're going to have to, but that is another way to go about it. And then the other thing, like these Pac-12 schools and the ACC schools as well, you've seen Miami do it. You have to capitalize very quickly, not necessarily quickly, but very publicly on name, image, likeness to be able to say, hey, our brand means something and it can help you. And those guys that are looking around either out of college or as a transfer are going to say, all right, I see what you're doing out there. Okay, I see Will Ferrell's back on the sideline and, you know, so-and-so's got a deal with whoever and like all of that stuff. Those are things that are going to matter as well. So there are more tools to combat this than anything, because as you said, like everybody's got 25 scholarships. Now, can more SEC schools take more five stars? Yeah, definitely. That can definitely happen. But you are still going to have some guys want to respect places like an Oregon, like a Clemson, maybe a Florida State, maybe a Miami. But I think like the next 5 years is going to be a big determining factor in that, because your revenue is going to have to get to a point where you can at least compete from a coach's salary standpoint and a staff standpoint.
The free agency thing that you're talking about, and I'll just use UCLA as an example. We have a running back in Zach Charbonnet that's from Michigan who's transferred to UCLA, and he's going to be really good. We have a linebacker. Yes, he was from Thousand Oaks. We have a linebacker from Notre Dame and from Alabama who are both, you know, big-time recruits that are probably going to play quite a bit this year. We've done a pretty good job. We have a Texas A&M receiver and Cam Brown that came to UCLA that's hopefully going to play and help us. So you're mentioning like that not everybody goes to these schools. And by the way, a lot of those kids actually did play. Like Charbonnet played his freshman year and had good numbers. It wasn't like they didn't play. Ginmar Keith played linebacker at Notre Dame. And there's guys that have playing time at big-time programs, but maybe the fit's just not right. There are actually kids out there that not only want to go home, but they actually are interested in academics. They're interested in getting a master's degree. They're interested in doing some of these things. Like, we forget, again, and you guys, we all know this because we all work in college football for a living. We all know that most of the kids, and I'm including every Alabama and Ohio State, all the way down to, you know, whatever school you want to mention, there are great kids at every school. Young men that are smart, intellectual, their future people that are going to dominate society in something other than sports. They're all over the place. I mean, you see them everywhere we go. I'm like blown away constantly at how amazing some of these people are. And so the more we go down this rabbit hole of money, 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 and these top 2%, these elite, 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 it's almost like the society thing where people complain about the wealthiest 1%. It's kind of like we're doing that in college football right now. We're kind of catering to the wealthiest 1% and we're forgetting about everybody else. And it's like, it's sad to me. Because I do think that there's a lot. We're going to see kids that are still going to, you know, not everybody, like I'm going to keep going back to this main point. Not everybody can go to these same schools. And by the way, as big as the SEC, still going to have one champion every year. You know, and as of right now, it probably is going to be Alabama more times than not.
Yeah, but Wayne, they'll have five teams in the playoff, so there'll be that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know. No, I get that. That means there'll be more teams in. Yes, go ahead.
Like, so what does that change for everybody else in college sports? Because I'm thinking about my recruiting process. I was not good enough to be recruited by Alabama, and that was when they weren't good. I was not good enough to be recruited by Georgia. I was good enough to be recruited by, like, you know, upper to middle tier ACC schools, not a Virginia Tech, but not a Florida State. I wasn't good enough
to get recruited by NC State.
So what my, like, my recruiting experience and my experience at Georgia Tech probably isn't all that different. So what, like you said, like, what does it change for those teams that are not the 1%?
So I'll give you an example. I'll give you an example of how I think college football has changed. And I'm not even sure if I'm answering this question correctly, but I think there's always been dominant teams. There has been. People have pointed that out many times, but I'll go back to Florida State's heyday with Charlie Ward. Okay. That was when I played. Okay, and those were great, great Florida State teams. Matter of fact, they were so good that my offensive coordinator went and visited Florida State so that we could learn from them. You know, we could be more like them. Uh-huh. We played a Nebraska team with Trev Alberts, new AD at Nebraska. Uh-huh. And it was funny. I was broadcasting a game in Nebraska, and they were honoring Trev. And I was laughing because they were showing highlights on the Jumbotron of me getting sacked by Trev Alberts. And so I went over to him. I said, hey, man, I go, did you plan this? I go, because that was me up there. And we started. He looked at me and he goes, you guys should have beat us. We played him in 93 and we lost to him 14-13. But we outplayed him everywhere but on the scoreboard. They ended up playing Florida State that year for the national championship. Okay, and that year, I promise there's a point to this, and they lost barely. It was a really, really good game, like Florida State and Nebraska. And it was 3 points, 5 points. It was close. We ended up losing to Wisconsin by 5 points in the Rose Bowl, and we ended up ranked like 18th in the country. The difference between the 18th team in the country back then and the number one and two team in the country was not what it is now. The gap, in my opinion, has gotten so much bigger. Like, if you were a top 25 team back in the day, you were a legit team. Again, and this goes back to regional coverage and what we didn't have, all the stuff they have now, like we were talking about with TV, where you can watch every single game in America every week. Mm-hmm. It was different. But you had really good players spread out across the country. And I'm not saying that everybody stayed home, because I had a lot of players that I played with at UCLA from all over the place. I had people from Virginia, from Texas. We used to recruit nationally really, really well.
Did you play with Charles Arbuckle?
I played right after Charles Arbuckle. Arbuckle okay. played with Aikman, and again, those were, you know.
There's no way a guy named Charles Arbuckle could have played later than like 1979.
Yeah, Arbuckle played in the late 80s. He played in the late 80s.
You're not gonna hate on my guy Charles Arbuckle.
I'm not hating on Charles Arbuckle. I'm hating on the name Charles Arbuckle, which sounds like he played with Red Grange.
Just call him Buck. But you guys get my point, though, and I don't know if you agree with me on this, but I really believe that the number one, two, three, four, like right now it feels like every year we start with about three teams that are probably going to win it. Then we'll add like a fourth, fifth, and sixth that have a chance.
Uh-huh.
And then maybe we'll throw in, and I always think it's funny that we do this, we throw in like one of those, you know, non-Power 5 teams because of their schedule. Not because of how good they are, but because of their schedule. They're probably going to win all their, like BYU or Cincinnati or whatever. But we always play that game every year. I just think that that's kind of what I'm talking about. I just feel like with the same – and I had something I put on my phone the other day where it just showed where the five-star recruits are going. I mean, I like screenshotted something. And it's like they're really only going to a couple schools. And if you look, their schools out there, their recruiting classes is like 5, 6, 7 five-star guys. And by the way, there's not a lot of five-star guys out there. And then the rest of their recruiting classes, all four-star guys. Yep. Like it's insane. And they're all going – to a small percentage of schools. And I really think that it was more spread out back in the day, if that makes sense. I would like to see that happen. I just don't know if it's ever going to
I think there's a combination change. Of things. I think it's a combination of coverage and evaluation. So there's a lot of guys. Like, there are guys that ended up at Pitt or guys that ended up at Georgia Tech or guys that ended up at UNC. Like, Julius Peppers was not a big-name recruit. He wasn't a national name in terms of things. But he ended up at UNC because – that's where that was close to him. And it was you either going to UNC or maybe like Virginia Tech or NC State. And he was like, I'm going here. Dre Bly, he was like the way that things have turned in terms of recruiting technology, recruiting evaluation, society, the amplification of it all, huddle, all this thing. It like, I don't even know if Clemson would know about DJ Uiagalelei if in 1987, 1994, would they know about him at all? No, he's going to UCLA or USC. That's a completely different beast. Same thing with CJ Spiller. CJ Spiller, 10 years before, probably doesn't end up at Clemson because they don't spend that much time in Florida. And I think that's a big part of it.
Right.
And the nationalization of a regionalized game has taken players out of region into other spots to create this space where, yes, we are seeing conglomerates of talent, conglomerates of power, conglomerates of also coaching talent, which I think is important. And I think, honestly, I know that Wayne, you keep talking about the recruiting element of it, but I think that the coaching element is just as, if not more important, because at the end of the day, they'll just hire you.
Yeah, so here's the deal, though. Think about this. Like, I don't know if you guys have ever had this thought with the coaching element. Like, if you are Ryan Day, you got handed the keys to a Ferrari.
Yep.
If you're Lincoln Riley, you got handed the keys to a Ferrari. Like, even the coach at UCLA, Chip Kelly, when he inherited a 10-win team at Oregon from Mike Bellotti, he stepped into a situation where they were already really, really, really good. He's doing a rebuild right now. Scott Frost is doing a rebuild right now. You have coaches like PJ Fleck. You have coaches that have been really, really good, but they're not given the keys to a Ferrari. And it's Matt Campbell. Well, the thing I love about Matt Campbell is he seems pretty steadfast on, like, I'm staying. But, like, who knows? I mean, because, like you said, there is a lot of money out there. But there's a lot of really good coaches that no matter how good they are, they may be hoping for that one lightning in a bottle.
Yeah.
That's the hard part, because that it's just they're just not going to – like I always said, one of the things I always loved about UCLA – was when in my day, whether it was the 80s or into the 90s, we went to, you know, four Rose Bowls, or factually five in those two decades, which I think any – back then, those were our championship games. So yeah. That's good. You're going 20% – you know, that's good. But the idea is that they weren't, like, always – like, you would have some down years in between.
Right.
And then you would have that year where nobody gets hurt. I think people lose sight of that too. When you're getting the recruits that some of these schools are getting, like, when they have a quarterback go down and you're replacing him with one of the best quarterbacks in the country, we saw that with Uyunglele. Trevor Lawrence gets hurt, and okay, hey, we got this guy. Let's see what he can do. Like you can't, at a school like UCLA back in the day, if everybody stayed healthy, we had a chance at a Rose Bowl. We had a chance at winning. But if a few people got hurt, key people, we were done. We would go down to a 500 team. And it could be we had the talent.
But you kept
the depth. We didn't have the depth. And you're right. And I'm not disagreeing on coaching. I actually do.
It's a
there are good coaches out there, though, you guys, that are not.
There are good coaches. But we live in this microwave society currently. We live in a microwave society where if you have two bad years in a row, you are gone. Yeah. If you have three bad years, you don't stand a chance. We saw people in the middle of a pandemic, where who knows how many games they were even going to get to play, and they had players that were out, and we saw teams play with a total of 45 or 55 players on their roster, and they still were firing coaches.
Yeah. That's because they're playing a different – like, again, these schools are playing
it.
They're playing a different game because, like, while America is hurting, the stock market was doing great during that time. And that makes boosters like, we got money to play with. Exactly. So it's different. And look, when this happens, what the response is to what everyone's response is, whether it's the Big Ten, the ACC, which I think the ACC is probably going to be patient. The Big Ten will be able to be more aggressive, but the ACC is not going to be worried about its teams leaving. They're all locked in through 2036, and it is too expensive for anybody to pay for 14 years of media rights, even for the ACC's media rights. So what the ACC is going to have to do is be patient for the way that things are going to shake out around the league. And will it affect recruiting? Absolutely. Will it affect everything else? Sure, but like all of the ways that it's going to happen are conjecture at this point, because the league that these teams are going to, that we think is going to consolidate the power, in a lot of ways already has. And like we can talk about this latest run in the SEC being Alabama, but like the run before that was pretty good too, when you had Florida and then Auburn jumps there up there for one, and then Alabama obviously takes over, and LSU has been a part of both of those. The fact that you've had four schools, and then Georgia was a second down and 26 away from winning a national championship. Remember, Georgia fans, a second down in 26. You've had five teams get to that point. Like, this league has already consolidated the power. This is just the power move to be able to consolidate it from a financial standpoint as well.
I think that the interesting thing for me, and I'm glad you brought up the ACC again, Roddy, because I think, and I know we have to wrap up, Hartzell. I'm not trying to go. I know we're going longer than you wanted us to go. I know we have to wrap up, but I think that the fight between Florida, Miami, FSU is going to be a sticking point. The same thing with Georgia Tech and Georgia, the same thing with Clemson and South Carolina. I am curious to see what might happen if the SEC is like, you know what, we need another team. And it's whether it's Virginia Tech or it is West Virginia or whoever it is, because that they don't have that in-state fight that those other schools have Because Clemson, we've all been to Clemson, right? Like, that is an SEC school.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
But South Carolina does not want them in there.
No.
And I'm curious to see on the other side what A&M fighting against Texas, Oklahoma coming in, what that looks like. And so the last question that I have, I mean,
the greatest thing about this whole thing is Texas A&M once again is reminded where they stand in things. Like, Texas A&M is looking around like, we left the Big 12 so that we could be the school in Texas. And as soon as Texas shows interest in the SEC, they're like, oh, Texas A&M, we're going to hold all these meetings without you. So Texas A&M has been reminded that you are number two in your own state.
And that's brutal. Like, that's – and I don't know.
It's hilarious is what it is.
Yeah. No, it is. It's very funny. And I – yes, you're right. It did make me laugh. But it's one of those things where, like, if you want to talk about being caught outside with your pants down, West Virginia, Baylor, Texas Tech is another one. Seeing what happens to them is going to be probably my – like, what are your – what are – for you guys, what do you think are the most intriguing things as we wrap this up?
You know, it's interesting. I'm just in this belief that there are so many strong fan bases out there that love their football programs and are gonna. And I think there's a lot of athletic departments that I don't know if they're gonna be quick to. I don't even know if the right phrase is to sell or to buy or whatever. I know that I like, you know, obviously what Roddy's saying about the ACC makes sense because their contracts, you know, last for a long time. The Pac-12, not so much. They're coming up pretty soon. They have a brand new commissioner. Uh-huh. I also think that, you know, once the smoke settles, I don't know if you need to rush into anything. I mean, as of right now, remember what Texas and Oklahoma said. They're not in the SEC yet. They still have to get voted in. They still have, what, till 2025? And I know that contracts are made to be broken, so there's ways to get out of that. But, you know, who knows what's going to happen? And maybe if that happened, the SEC is still the SEC. You know, maybe everybody else stays patient. Maybe that, you know, because every conference has some teams that are kind of dragging the bottom, including the SEC, right?
Sure.
And usually it's quite a few. The Big Ten has them. The ACC has them. The Pac-12 has them. I mean, everybody has those. Do you start, you know, when you do this realignment, do you kick teams out? You know, it's going to be.
Yep.
Well, I know, and that's.
I want to hear this, Hartzell. Hold on. Like, Hartzell has been silent the whole time. Yeah. I want to hear this, like, this kicking people out. Who gets kicked out?
I don't know who gets kicked out, but I don't think the Kansas schools are feeling very good about themselves, and I don't think Baylor's feeling very good about it either. Look, I'm less confident in which schools are going to get left out as much as it is a look. Everybody's got feelings. What's driven this whole thing for the last week is people, fan bases, athletic directors, boosters, everybody being so upset. We were blindsided. We didn't see this coming. I'm outraged. I'm offended. Well, nobody asked for this, but it is here. So now you have to deal with it. And so I think the Big 12 schools, especially once West Virginia pieces out, it's going to be like rats.
Where are they
going
to piece out to?
They're going to the ACC.
Well, the thing is, does the ACC want them if they don't have to take them? Right. Here's the ugly truth about the rest of the Big 12. None of them move the needle. Not a single one of them by themselves moves the needle. So why would the ACC take West Virginia just to distribute the exact same money to everybody? Like, why, if I'm a member school, am I voting for that? West Virginia is only a part of a package deal that includes Notre Dame. That's it. And by the way, Notre Dame is not moving because the things that they value in independence, which are access to the playoff and a revenue and the amount of revenue that doesn't make it financially financially irresponsible to stay out of the ACC, those two things are going to stay pat unless you go to an 18 playoff, and then maybe that forces Notre Dame's hand or scheduling gets tricky, but that's a whole different thing. But the revenue standpoint, the thing that the ACC is from a revenue standpoint, they can't get a big enough bump in revenue to make it hurt Notre Dame without Notre Dame joining the league. So, like, how do you reconcile that? That's the issue that the ACC has.
Yeah, I'm just real quick. I'm less concerned with trying to predict the future as much as I am. I'm just trying to I'm still trying to wrap my head around, and this will be my closing statement. I'll let you guys take it. But, like, in the last 6 months alone, right? Just the last 6 months. To Felder's point about how this is a soap opera, it's a TV show. people want to be entertained, right? Like Russell Crowe and Gladiator. Last 6 months alone, we've got two things that are coming that haven't happened, but they're coming. Expanded playoff, conference realignment, right? You got to wrap your head around that. You got to wrap your head around the NIL. You got the transfer portal. You got the portal that's changing the game for programs that have gaps to fill. I mean, you in the SEC alone, you can transfer within that league and be immediately eligible. That is a game changer for schools like Georgia that need to just plug and play guys because they know that they're that good. It's like the MLB at the trade deadline. We're one starting pitcher away from being able to make a run at a championship. Like that's, I mean, you got that and the coaches' salaries that are just ballooning. So just, I mean, there's so many things that are going on. And Felder, to your point earlier, I mean, if this is a soap opera, I mean, there's a lot of things that have you sitting back as a college football fan being like, man, this story's just gotten out of control. Like there's just too many things. Like you've lost me. Like, you know, like Ozark season 3, it's like, I got to step away. There's just, this is not believable. Well, now we've gone down a path that's just not sustainable. So I hope it
chills
out.
Yeah, but you came back and finished Ozark, right? Because I did the same thing. I walked away halfway through, but then I had to come back and finish.
It's a great show. Yeah. I can't wait for season 4. It's filmed in Georgia. But my whole thing is, it's just one of those things that's accelerated at such a fast rate in the last couple months. Nobody's asked for it, but here we are. I think that the remainder of the summer is going to be fascinating because there's going to be some schools that you think you're upset now. I mean, just wait till you realize that you're going to be playing football in the American.
Yeah. So if you think you're lonely now, wait until tonight, girl.
So hey, Roddy. So let's talk move the needle. Okay. I like that saying. What moves the needle? Which is, by the way, really hard. Obviously, Texas and Oklahoma move the needle. That's why everybody went, whoa. I mean, it's just like I heard that and I went, no, it's not real. Come on, is that real? I had to go search. So what if say everybody's fighting to get to this 16 team? If that becomes the deal, what if the Pac-12 took TCU? That's been a very solid program for a long time now, in a Texas school, took Oklahoma State, because Oklahoma State's kind of without their rival run. They're not going to go to the SEC. Oklahoma State's also been a solid football program for a while now. BYU, who has a fan base that if you've ever been to a BYU game or watched them travel, they are, trust me, they have a fan base that is very, very good. And Boise State. There's four additions. I know it's not the greatest thing in the world, but those are all solid football fan bases and all solid football programs.
Can I give Roddy time to think?
Because I don't need that much time to think, but okay. Yes, Felder, feel free.
I was going to say, TCU is not even the number one school in their
No, I know that,
CMA.
But there's only so many teams on the draft board anymore. Yeah. Some of the other teams have already been taken.
I know, but what I'm saying is, we're talking about moving the needle.
No, I'm getting at the point that you moving the needle after certain teams fall. Like Notre Dame's out there, but as is pointed out, they're probably gonna sit back and say, you know what, we're fine.
So nobody else moves the needle.
That's my whole point. And now if you're trying to get to these 16, like what's the best you can do with what's left is kind of what I'm getting at.
It's not great. And here's the thing. What do you know what the Pac-12's media rights distribution was? It was like 30-something million, right? Like somewhere in that neighborhood.
But it's up soon.
Yeah. So let's say that it's $30 million, okay? Each one of those schools has to then bring $30 million of value to the conference. Boise State doesn't bring $30 million. TCU doesn't bring $30 million. Oklahoma State might get and what was the other one? I can't even remember what the other one was. And BYU maybe, like national brand, but has never been affiliated with the conference. International brand. So yeah, we'll say check to BYU. So that is the bare minimum for everyone's media rights distribution to steam. Now let's talk about growing the pie. So in order to have, if you have a 14 or 16 team conference, you're talking about having to have $16 million more from those four schools to even get a $1 million bump per school. So does that make it worth it? I don't know. Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it solidifies the conference. Maybe there's other reasons. But financially, there's just not enough. The most valuable – I think there's an argument to be made that the most valuable piece of content that remains in the Big 12 is Kansas basketball. And it's in the wrong sport. Like,
Yeah.
Iowa State football, great. I love the league you just put together from a football perspective, Wayne. Uh-huh. But from an overall, like, make sense financially perspective, I just don't see it.
But this is the question.
Because you're left with scraps.
Well, yeah, but that's my – but there's the point then. Like, isn't a part of anybody that's just like, fine, SEC, take all the teams you want, play your own league, and let everybody else have college football back? Like, I know that's a real crazy thing to say, but, like, it's kind of like then you stand pat. Like, if you can't.
Yeah, but then it'd be like watching the XFL. Like, I want to see the guys whose names are going to be called when the NFL draft comes around.
So what about this then? Why don't – so I've seen this out there. I've seen UCLA and USC, Washington and Oregon going somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, go to the Big Ten, go to the whatever. I mean, like, I've seen that mentioned by lots of people. So, like, it's
makes
crazy.
A lot of financial sense for those schools, and it makes financial sense for the Big Ten. It really does. It expands the Big Ten's footprint. This is already a league that plays 9 conference games. They would be the league, I think, to say, all right, we'll play 10 conference games. Sure, why not? And so yeah, I think that makes sense. But you have to poach off one of those big brands, and the ones that are left are Oregon, to some extent Washington, not quite as much, USC, and no offense, Wayne, to some extent UCLA.
Yep.
I think there are a lot of fits there academically and financially. It makes sense.
They match.
And it gets the bump that you expect. But that's about it that's left.
If those 4 teams bolted for the Big Ten, that would be more jaw-dropping than what we saw last week. I mean, that would be spectacular. That'd be amazing.
I also think that there is this alignment, and listen, no disrespect to the Big 12 or the SEC, but there's also this alignment with the Big 10, the ACC, and the Pac-12 from an academics, but also from a sponsored sports standpoint, which I don't think enough people really think about, because I don't think people really care about anything but the revenue sports. But the sponsored sports and the, like, there's a reason why these teams are usually pretty high up in the, the Carlisle
Director's
Cup or whatever
Cup.
It is. Director's Cup. Yeah. Like, Stanford could win 2 football games, and guess what? They're going to finish in the top 10. You know why? Because they're good at a bunch of other stuff, and they
sponsor 8,000 sports too, or at least they did.
They have a bunch of other sports, and the same thing with UCLA, Wayne, and the same thing with a bunch of these other Pac-12 schools, where the SEC is basically doing the bare minimum in terms of sponsoring sports so that all their money can be funneled to football. And I think that is a mentality from the Big Ten, whether it's hockey or lacrosse or field hockey or whatever it is, to the ACC with field hockey and lacrosse being so humongous, and obviously baseball being important and all those things. Like, I think that's another mentality that I don't think people realize. And let's not forget Delaney. I know he's not the Big Ten commissioner anymore, but he went to UNC.
Mm. Right.
And there's a relationship there between the Big Ten and the ACC. There's a relationship there between the Pac-12 and the ACC and the Pac-12 and the Big Ten, because, and I hope this doesn't offend anyone, but they look down at the Big 12 and the SEC.
Yeah. No, that's the facts, man. Absolutely. Boys, this has been fun.
Can I do my last word?
Yeah, I was going to give you. I was going to give everyone their last word.
I thought we already did that.
I will give you the floor first. You got 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Last word. Put me on the clock. Here we go. This is Marvel movies, right? This is Marvel movies. Fast and Furious. You have like 2 studios, 3 studios making like blockbuster films, and we don't get the little independent movies that. That's what I love about college football. I like independent films. I like small art house movies. I like going to a little black box theater and seeing some weird performance art. But instead, the biggest piece of art in college football is going to just be these 3 or these 4 conferences, and that's just what you're going to get, and that's the way it works. So I agree with you, Wade.
That was 34 seconds. Cookie, there's no way you can keep this under 30.
There's no way I can. I will tag team what was just said. I ended up running into a whole bunch of former football players from my day, 50 years old and up. And one of the things that I think is very cool is that a lot of us have kids that are college age now. And the old system of just a scholarship and a chance at an education and a chance to play on TV led to a lot of these young athletes not only getting a degree and getting a chance at a better life, but their kids are doing the same thing now. I hope we don't lose sight of that. I hope that when this all becomes about money and power and all that stuff, that we pay attention. As a history teacher, I can tell you that usually ends up bad. So I hope that we're smart, and I hope if we do change that we do it in the right way and we don't forget about all these athletes that have a chance to better themselves in their lives and their kids' lives and their grandkids' lives, because I think that's really, really important, and I hope we don't lose sight of that.
That was 56 seconds. Roddy?
Yeah.
All right, you got to tell me when to go because I got to go quick.
Roddy, you've talked the least. Talk as long as you want.
Wait, you got to tell me when to go. You got to say ready, set, go.
As soon as you start, that's when I start the clock.
All right, so my last word is that the adults in the room have failed here. The adults in the room have constantly not only taken advantage of student athletes, and Cookie, I get what you're saying with scholarship and all that stuff, but as revenues have grown around these student athletes, for them not to have had a part of it has failed a generation of student athletes. I mean, I look at myself and who knows how much money I could have made, but let's just say I hit it big and struck a deal for like, I don't know, $20,000. That would have allowed me to do a lot of things that could have helped me now that I couldn't do coming out of college. But name, image, likeness, like this has been coming down the pipe for forever. The reason that we are in the wilderness is because the adults in the room have failed to come up with any sort of guidelines or any sort of direction with it. The transfer portal, exact same thing. Because the adults in the room wanted to have control over their unpaid labor, they have said, all right, if you transfer because it's going to make we're going to make you sit out a year. And now that you've unleashed a multitude of things, number one, you have the society of parents and advisors that are raising these children to say, hey, if it's not good here, you can go elsewhere. And it starts at little league programs, it starts in, then it continues to college. And because this was pent up for so long, you are having guys saying, all right, cool, let's all do it at the same time. It'll normalize, but the adults, again, have failed. And then third is expansion. If we think expansion is going to ruin the game, and maybe it will change things and make college football look like something that we don't like, it is not the student athlete's fault. Like this is the adult's fault. This is Greg Sankey. This is ESPN. This is Mark Emmert's lack of leadership. This is the power vacuum that Jim Delaney left in college football. This is the adults, the people that supposedly know what's best, doing all this stuff. So if we have I am done with people telling how, you know, the things were better off and things were this and things were that. It's those same people that got us here. So I don't want to hear it. I really don't, because the entire way there have been failures, little failures that have not added up to much, but little failures along the way that have eventually gotten us to the point where everything has come in the summer of 2021.
Hey, Steven, before the final word.
That was 2 minutes and 18 seconds.
You guys are both fantastic. And I think everybody needs to know that even though we always don't agree, like it's weird because what I said didn't disagree with what you just said, Roddy.
No, you're 100%.
I agree with you. I just want to make, like, sometimes I feel like if we could just combine all of us, It's there's good stuff in all of it, so I think that's awesome. I love listening to different perspectives and different opinions and different things, because for all of us, including maybe some of our leaders of this country, if we would learn to do that, holy cow, we actually listen and grow and change instead of just, you know, putting up a wall and not listening and not trying to change for the better. So I agree. The adults in the room in this country need to do better.
All right, you stepped all over Serber's time. All right, Serber gets 30 seconds. He gets his last word. And Serber?
I like to compliment my boys, all right? These guys are amazing, and I just need them to know that.
Floor is yours.
You know, it's too bad that you guys aren't in leadership, because you just spent about an hour and 20 minutes talking about the right way to go about expanding the playoff and you know, make these super conferences in such a way that makes sense for everyone. But to Roddy's point, there's been a lot of failure over the last, you know, 100 years in this sport. There's going to continue to be a great amount of failure. And while I think you all made excellent points today, to be honest, like, Rutgers is in the Big Ten. And it don't make no damn sense for nobody but Rutgers. And that's what's going to happen this time, too. Like, I,
bro,
you know, it's going to be
everybody needs
Texas
a win. Everybody needs a win on the
you
schedule.
Know, Texas and Oklahoma are going to go to the SEC, and that's great. But I guarantee you there's going to be some too. Like, I guarantee you Baylor's going to wind
not
up
not one
there.
Cuss word the you whole know? Time until Cerber gets on.
Well, you know, you guys should let me talk earlier.
Baylor's not going to the big. I mean, Baylor's not going to the SEC.
I mean, what, you say that, dog. You say that, and they should not. But absolutely, Maryland's ass should not be in the Big Ten. But there they are, doing nothing for nobody at all. So, I appreciate
great lacrosse.
You did
great
tonight.
Lacrosse, Maryland, big lax
yeah.
school.
Yeah, big lax school. Congratulations. Go form a lacrosse conference where it makes sense. But otherwise, like. We're still going to see a lot of bullcrap in this sport. It's not going to get much better, but let's all take our hats off right now that players are getting theirs and they're getting paid, and that's an awesome thing that whatever happens coming after this summer, which has been so great, that's the only thing that I'm going to look back at and say, well, that was a win for everyone.
Cerber, on that point, I'll keep this really quick. We interviewed DJ Uiagalelei at ACC Media Days, and we asked him about NIL and about his thing with Bojangles. He was like, "Yeah, man, my guys, they set me up with it, so I guess it's bow time."
Yeah. He's a G, and they all
it was
are.
Great.
And
I'm
glad that I'm glad these players are getting their shine. But the adults in the room, as you said, they are going to continue to make terrible, awful, horrible mistakes that have repercussions for decades within their programs.
That was 30 seconds on the nose, Cerber. You nailed it.
No way. No way. That
always hit the out.
Yeah.
Always hit the out. The clock restarted every time I was interrupted. So
fair. That's fair.
By the way, Rutgers might start the year 3-0. Like, Rutgers is not a – they're not a
– They have UMass on the schedule? I have been slandering UMass.
Temple at Syracuse, Delaware.
Bro, you better watch out for those Blue Hens, baby.
I know about the Blue Hens, but, I mean, come on. Temple at Cuse.
Thou shalt not traveling to Syracuse in early September. I know they have air conditioning in the dome now, but that is still not an easy place to play.
Rutgers might flirt with a bowl. They may be staring at five wins down the stretch.
We were talking about expansion. You've already started spouting these superfluous hot takes. Like, come on, man.
Felder worked in some
there
field
is a
hockey
coach,
references.
There is a
man.
Coach that won at Rutgers, and he happens to be back.
Yeah, that's so I've heard. I will end the show game. with
to be fair, what's his name? What's his name went back to UConn, and that wasn't great. Randy Edsall?
Yeah. He's back. He's back in stores. I will end the show with one piece of shameless self-promotion.
Kansas is about to be UConn.
If you thought your jaw dropped when you heard that Oklahoma and Texas was heading to the SEC, just wait until you hear what CSN has in store for the fall. Major announcement on deck. I can't give it away on this show, but it's a big one. Like, it's a big one. We got a big old fish, and we're reeling them in. So there will be another member of our crew, our fraternity here, if you will. On CSN, and it's going to be a big deal. I can't talk about it yet. It's not official, but it
Bro,
is
you
official.
Just did the,
I've
got a surprise for you, but I can't give it to you yet.
Yeah, that's correct. That's a tease.
Like, you're
industry.
A dad. You're a dad. You know you can't do that.
I have a hard time keeping secrets from my children. I do. What can I say, boys? That's been fun.
This is a bigger fish than the three of us.
Yeah, it's come on. You're pushing.
Probably put together.
Yeah, you disrespected him. You disrespected him a little bit.
A little bit. Yes.
Little bit. You disrespected
him. I love all you guys. But yes, this is a big get for
but
the show.
Yes.
Bro, look, I don't know about you guys or where you think you fit. I know I am the ACC. Like, I'm comfortable with where we are, but I'm not at the top of the pecking order. Like, I know that.
Yeah. Oh, listen. I'm legitimately the scrub of the zone. Don't worry.
No, Wayne, you and Wayne are Pac-10 and SEC.
Hey,
10 in the SEC.
You guys are in this world all the time. I still have to have a second job as an eighth grade social science teacher. So,
hey, we all have second jobs. All of us.
Guys,
all of us have second jobs.
I'm the Sun Belt if I'm anything.
Doubt that. You're at least the American Athletic Conference.
Boys, this has been fun. This has been fun. Felder, go cook dinner. Roddy, Wayne, it's been fun. Cerber, I'll see you in the office.
Peace.
Neat.